From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. California Representative Nancy Pelosi made a strong statement on her first day as the 2019 House Speaker on the issue of climate change. She referred to it as an existential threat. But at the same time as she made such a bold statement, a set of rules for the new House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis were released, and proponents of a Green New Deal pointed out that those rules were disappointingly weak. The committee, which is to be headed by Congresswoman Kathy Castor, will lack the power to issue subpoenas or depositions or even vote on bills that it could send to the floor of the House for a vote. Still, the movement of young people that launched the idea of a Green New Deal is escalating its activism in the new year. Activists plan to continue bold action all around the country, drumming up support for their idea that could solve both the climate and economic crises we face. My guest is Varshini Prakash. She's the founder of the Sunrise Movement. Welcome to the program, Varshini.
Thanks for having me.
So first, it's worth summarizing, even though we've covered this idea of a Green New Deal before, how you explain to our audience what a Green New Deal is.
Sure. So we understand a Green New Deal to be essentially an umbrella term for a set of policies and programs that transition America off fossil fuels, get us to an 100% renewable energy future, and do all of this through the creation of tens of millions of good paying jobs that will help to virtually eliminate poverty in this country. We really think about it as a great socioeconomic project to rival some of the greatest projects in American history that actually works to stop climate catastrophe in line with what the latest UN climate science demands.
So to that end, you had this idea that the House should have a committee on the climate crisis. And of course, you know, we've had so much research, we've had so much talk and just not enough action that even this idea of a committee was at first received with some skepticism, but then it was thought that if the committee could actually do something critical, it would be a good first step. Now the rules for the select committee have been released. And as I mentioned, some have pointed out they're far too weak. What do you make of them?
Sure. Well, so what we set out on November 13th calling for was specifically a select committee for a Green New Deal that Representative-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez put forward, and we actually secured the support of 45 other members of Congress to get behind.
So let me stop you there. So the idea was for a House Select Committee on a Green New Deal. That was to be in the title of the committee.
Yeah, and it was specifically supposed to work to draft a plan, essentially a blueprint for what a Green New Deal might look like over the next year ahead of the presidential election in November of 2020. And what this would offer us is essentially a way to gauge what politicians were actually backing the real solutions to the crisis and which ones weren't. And it was one of the most significant documents, I think, that I have seen when it comes to climate ambition in the last, I think, since the history of America, because it actually was looking at solutions to the crisis that are in line with what the latest IPCC report demands, unprecedented changes to our economy and our society. It included things like guaranteeing a job to any American who wants or needs one, doing the work of cleaning up the climate crisis and averting catastrophe. It looked like investing millions and millions of dollars into communities that are on the front lines of poverty and pollution, largely low-income neighborhoods or communities of color that are often the first to get hit and the last to get help from a lot of climate-related disasters.
So in the end, what ended up being put together was a House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis, a committee that does not have the same power as other committees. Will this committee actually do anything? And what do you make of Nancy Pelosi sort of talking out of both sides of her mouth, calling it an existential threat, and then overseeing the formation of a committee that has no teeth?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what I'll say to that is that calling something a crisis and treating it like one are two very, very different things. And I can tell you there were thousands of young people who were severely disappointed in the leadership of Nancy Pelosi and other Democratic establishment leaders who have created a select committee on the climate crisis that, as you mentioned before, has no subpoena power. So it has no ability to actually gather information from the corporations who have been responsible for creating the crisis while simultaneously misleading the public on the science and buying out tons of politicians to support them. So it allows fossil fuel, no subpoena power, and it allows fossil fuel funded politicians to also sit on the panel, something that we find to be a fundamental conflict of interest. And it also has no mandate to develop a plan around a Green New Deal. So in that effect, this committee that's being created in 2019, 50 years after we discovered that man-made climate change was going to utterly devastate human civilization as we know it if we don't do something to stop it, in 2019, this committee has even less power than the one that Nancy Pelosi created back in 2000, a decade ago. That was the Select Committee on Climate Change. So we're feeling angered, but we're also feeling really fired up. And I can tell you, since we had that action where we sat in at Nancy Pelosi's office 3 months ago, roughly, over 100 new chapters of Sunrise Movement have launched across the country. 100 new what we call Sunrise Hubs. If you go to sunrisemovement.org, you can see where they are and join one or even start your own. And on Thursday, we have almost 400 young people already signed up for a mass call to hear about what the plans are in 2019, because this fight for a Green New Deal is far from over, even if some of the institutional avenues have been shut off.
Now, Varshini, you have a strong advocate in a very outspoken freshman Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It seems, at least from where I sit, if you are going to have a strong proponent in Congress, she is one of the best ones you might want. Although, of course, given her relative newcomer status, she might not have the power, the sort of bully pulpit power that a Nancy Pelosi does, but she seems to have the guts that many Democrats lack. So she had this interesting Twitter exchange over the weekend with Representative Steve Scalise, the very high-ranking Republican representative who, essentially mocked her for her idea that a 70% tax rate on the wealthiest Americans could easily fund a Green New Deal. He called it a leftist fantasy program. She was able to stand up to him, and some have even pointed out that a 70% tax rate isn't high enough. How important is her advocacy? And also, let's also talk about what she suggested in terms of how you fund this Green New Deal.
Sure. Well, to me, it's not a question about how you pay for it. It's a question of how we actually prioritize it, right? Last year, in 2017, it's 2019 now. Republicans were able to secure a massive tax cut, a $1.7 trillion tax cut to the wealthiest of the wealthy in this country. And so if we have the kind of money to continue to pad the pockets of billionaires and fossil fuel executives in this country, I would think that we would also have the money to provide clean air and fresh water to allow all people to live out their lives in peace and dignity and to protect ourselves from an ever more violent and uncertain world that we are careening towards if we don't take immediate action. So I think what you said about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being risky and bold is completely true. But I don't think that it's ambition for ambition's sake. I think it's ambition that is fundamentally rooted in what is realistic and what is necessary for our generation, for the generations that come after us to survive.
And of course, we are told that it's unrealistic for us to want to solve the climate crisis over and over again. There's been a lot of right-wing media coverage, which might be a sign that the movement is actually having some success. A lot of right-wing media criticism, calling it socialism, saying that it's a dream team that's powered by unicorns. and that there's a lot of details that are dangerous to the American people. And if the right wing hates this so much, I suppose that's a good sign that they feel threatened by it.
Well, I'd say there's nothing more material than the food that you eat. There's nothing more based in reality than the water that you drink. There's nothing more based in reality than whether or not you have health care or a job. And I think that fundamentally, most of these politicians are completely out of touch with what everyday people are going through day in and day out in this country and across the world.
There was a poll conducted by the Yale Program on Climate Communication late last year that found that more than 80% of registered voters support the idea of a Green New Deal. That includes 92% of Democrats and 64% of Republicans. That's pretty heartening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we can actually talk about the issue of the climate crisis, not in terms of carbon or inanimate things, but if we can actually talk about it as it relates to creating tens of millions of good paying jobs with the right to benefits and fair wages, if we can talk about fundamentally improving people's everyday conditions and making it so that babies don't have to breathe poisoned air or drink poisoned water. I think these are all things that the vast majority of Americans care about. In fact, in the speech that you referenced from Nancy Pelosi last week, she mentioned that the people are ahead of the Congress on this issue. And it is so clear on the issue of the Green New Deal. 80% of people who hear about a Green New Deal agree with the fundamental parts of it. And that is so, so heartening. Mm-hmm. So that's also why Sunrise, through much of 2019, is actually taking the message of the Green New Deal far beyond the Beltway, because we know that these decisions aren't just going to be made in backdoor deals in DC. They're not just going to be made over Twitter fights. They're going to be made because millions of Americans are relentlessly demanding the real solutions to the crisis that we so desperately need. So we'll be spending a large part of 2019 on a Green New Deal tour that includes some of the fresh, bold faces of the Democratic Party and movement leaders, and bringing the conversation about a Green New Deal to every person that we can, and giving them the tools and resources to actually push their federal policymakers to back a Green New Deal. And another part of what we're doing in 2019 is making it so that any federal policymaker who wants to run for office in 2019 or 2020 in 2019 and 2020 needs to back a Green New Deal.
And I'm so glad you brought up that last bit. With Huffington Post had a really interesting article last week showing that polling done in one Democratic representative's district, this is Kathleen Rice in Long Island, New York, suggested that she could jeopardize her position, her re-election, next re-election, if she doesn't back a Green New Deal. There was overwhelming support. So this is a really important political litmus test that people can hold their representatives to. If you don't support this, you will face trouble in being re-elected. Now, you'd mentioned earlier that there were 45 supporters of a select committee for a Green New Deal. Now we have a watered down committee on the climate crisis. What is the sense of support, or what is the extent of support among House Democrats right now for a Green New Deal? Are you seeing a strong push?
Well, we've already seen actually a lot of representatives who are part of that 45, and even some who were outside of that, actually reaching out to us and asking how can we push forward the level of ambition that's called for in the Green New Deal? How can we push forward this narrative and make sure that it's actually a defining issue for Democrats in the 116th Congress? So I feel really excited to be working with those members moving forward. And part of the mission of 2019 is going to be to really ensure that the conversation stays in the public eye and in the political debate nationally.
So in terms of what you want to see happening around the country, are you calling on activists, in particular young folks, to join in this movement? It feels as though anytime you read anything about the climate crisis, it's depressing because this is a very depressing issue. And something like a Green New Deal is visionary enough that you might be able to draw support rather than alienate folks, because the sort of human psychological response to existential crises that it's just too big for our brains to handle. But a Green New Deal seems like something we could handle mentally, psychologically.
Yeah, I mean, it's fully true. The climate crisis is immense. But in my experience, it is much more it's much more possible to deal with it when you have a friend or, you know, a couple thousand friends. And so what we are really trying to do is build this movement as big as possible to invite as many young people to be a part of it as possible. And if you are a young person who is goes to bed or wakes up in the morning scared about the climate crisis or angry at the way that fossil fuel elites have driven the conversation about climate change over the last 40 years and the ways in which the corruption has played out at all levels of government, we need you to join us. You can go to sunrisemovement.org. You can get involved in the campaign for a Green New Deal. And I think what's so exciting about this moment is there are politicians who are willing to back us, people like Ocasio-Cortez, but more people like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Jonah Goose, so many others who are ready to back this movement and go to fight in the halls of power for us because they came up through our ranks. There are so many people who are like you, who are scared and angered and want to take action. And all of those people are coming out of the woodwork in droves. I've never seen an energy like this in years. And I think people are far from feeling demoralized about whatever's going on in DC politics. They're actually energized that for once, people are calling for the actual scale of ambition that we need.
Now, we are seeing a very, very early start to the 2020 presidential races, of course. Should a Green New Deal be a litmus test for presidential contenders too?
Absolutely. We're really looking to force a race to the tops around climate action for the 2020 presidential election. I think AOC actually quipped on Twitter the other day where she said, after the news came out about Beto O'Rourke supporting the concept of a Green New Deal, she said, if you don't support a Green New Deal, are you even running for president? So I would really echo that sentiment.
And what do you make, by the way, of the choice of Representative Kathy Castor of Florida to select head the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis? Because it's possible that bold leadership within this committee could push it in a direction that would actually be useful.
Sure. Well, frankly, we're having a hard time believing in the Select Committee for a lot of the aforementioned reasons, the lack of the no fossil fuel money pledge, being a part of it, no mandate for a plan around a Green New Deal and no subpoena power. So it's hard to imagine what Representative Castor could do with such limited powers. That being said, if Representative Castor were to fully embrace a lot of the concepts and ideas that were present in the resolution that AOC put forward for the Select Committee for a Green New Deal and take the no fossil fuel money pledge, that could be a game changer. So we're leaving doors open for that possibility, but also not holding our breath and are moving forward, mobilizing and organizing thousands of people.
Elizabeth Warren has said that she would support the idea of a Green New Deal. It sort of sounds like Beto O'Rourke saying he would support the concept of a Green New Deal. It's not clear where she stands exactly. Do you have any sense of whether she wholeheartedly backs it or is just sort of saying it because she's expected to say it? I mean, a big part of a Green New Deal is the kind of jobs program that you would expect Warren with her politics on the economy to embrace.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the resolution language, and I actually recommend that people go and take a look at it, you can find it on our website. There are some very specific policy provisions in there. Jobs guarantee, 100% renewable energy, investment in communities of color and low-income communities, adaptation measures, et cetera. There's so much in there that's actually very concrete. And so what we're going to be looking for as this presidential primaries starts to, as we see the slate kind of come together and we understand everybody who's running, is who is actually, when the rubber hits the road, we look at the concrete details of everybody's plan, whose are actually most in line with what the science says is necessary to avert climate catastrophe in the next 12 years. Mm-hmm. So we've been really heartened by some of the 2020 contenders who are coming out in support of it. And now we'll be looking for the specifics to back that up.
And Varshini, finally, this idea of the activists leading the way, I feel like is so critical, because often we back those politicians who echo verbally what we're calling for, but who may not be actually taking the bold action needed. I mean, sort of think about the labor movement and the formal labor movement and its alignment with the Democratic Party. In order to have proximity to power, many progressive groups have ended up, undermining their own ideals. But it feels like this particular group, the Sunrise Movement and the activism that you are championing, it's new enough, it's young enough, and it's bold enough that you might not fall into that trap.
We certainly hope not. And I think it's also going to be a matter of, look at what we've been able to accomplish with one Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in office. And now I want us to imagine, what would it look like if we had 20 or 30? That is the opportunity that's in front of us for 2020, but also for every congressional and election cycle following. So we think that there is so much that's at our fingertips, so much that is possible if we actually start to elect and then flank the people, putting people in power who have really committed to be people-powered and values-driven. And we're seeing just the beginning of that movement, that political movement as well.
Give out the website again for the Sunrise Movement.
Yes, sunrisemovement.org. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Venmo at SunriseMVMT.
We'll post a link to that from our website. Varshini, good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Varshini Prakash is the founder of the Sunrise Movement, and we've been discussing the latest on the Green New Deal. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.